This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Con Ed wants to turn the lights out on workers' power in New York City.
In the midst of a virtual media blackout, we bring you exclusive from the picket line news and views with locked out Con Edison workers. Con Edison illegally more than a week ago without notice in the midst of bargaining over pensions, health care, and wages locked out its 8,500 workers after the union refused to surrender its ability to strike.
While the sides have returned to the bargaining table, tensions run high with injuries to the scab management thinking it can do the workers' jobs and services cuts to our neighborhoods.
Now let's head to the local 1-2 locked out Con Edison workers picket line, and then we'll speak with Harry Farrell, president of Local 1-2 of the Utility Workers of America.
And I'm in front of Con Ed headquarters on Irving Place, a boisterous demonstration. Thousands of utility workers cruise out here. All the truck drivers here seem to be honking their horns in support of the union. With two workers here, tell me your name.
My name is Michael Crispino.
Sarita Williams.
Okay, Sarita, let's start with you. How long have you been working for the company?
3 years.
What do you do?
Customer service. On the phone, basically, talking to the customers every day regarding their billing, regarding information, anything about blackouts or steam, electric, gas, emergencies, and everything like that.
Who's doing that now?
Some of my supervisors and other management.
They know what they're doing?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. Well, at least they're not going to get themselves hurt.
No, because they're inside. But unfortunately, those guys that are outside that don't know much are really suffering out there because they don't know half the job that the people who are in the field, that what they do.
And Michael, what do you work at, and who's doing that now?
Yeah, I work out of 30 Flatbush as a troubleshooter dispatcher. What I do is I dispatch the crews for emergency jobs. If there's a smoke or manhole, if there's a wire burning in the overhead, if there's outages, and I dispatch the crews to go out there. And right now, my supervisor's doing that.
What do you think's happening out there now?
You know, they're pretty busy right now. I'm not sure. I know I'm out here. But when I left, when we got walked out of the building Saturday night, it was getting pretty busy.
Explain to me how Con Ed could lock you out in the middle of a heat wave when I don't know how many millions of people on the East Coast were out of electricity. What do you suppose is on their mind?
Greed. That CEO made $17 million with his taxes paid. So he made whatever it is to take him to $17 million. The president of the company made $2.3 million, and the company profited. And we're just looking to maintain a level like we were maintaining. We didn't want nothing more. We didn't want nothing less. We just wanted to maintain our standard of living. I can't explain greed.
Can you explain greed? What exactly is the company trying to get from you?
Whatever the company is trying to get from all of us. As you can see, in corporate America, it's going on all over the place where all of these corporations and their high-ups, they want more than what we have. They have employees that are trying to become middle class who are now trying to be pushed back into becoming poor. That's not even right. That greed needs to stop all across the board. We just want what is fair for us. A decent contract. Keep it as it is. Don't change it. Don't make us less than what we can afford right now.
I know they're going after the pensions, but what else are they going after?
They wanted our medical to be double. They wanted, I believe it was a 1% raise each year for 4 years. You can't live with that. With medical going up and no raises and your pension off the table, what's the sense of working here? You get a job somewhere else where there's a pension.
How is this lockout affecting you personally?
Well, I kind of saved up for it, but it will affect me in the future. Right now, I'm over here doing what I have to do to make sure that our message and our voices are heard.
And how's it affecting you personally?
I saved up, of course, because you knew from the beginning of the year, plus last year, they told us to start saving up. We thought about, you know, what was going to happen. But as of right now, it's okay. I can't say what next month or the month after that will bring if we're out that long.
This is Con Ed that's doing this, but if you look around the country, companies are trying to take pensions and health care away, give no raises even when they're profitable. Tell me what you think's happening around the country.
Well, it looks like there's going to be an attack on the middle class, and it has to stop somewhere. And maybe if we stop it here, then maybe this will catch on instead of the way it's going right now where the middle class is getting attacked when it's not even our fault that the country's in the mess that's in now. The big banks got bailed out. The insurance companies that protected the big banks got cleared out. They back the teachers' pension. They blame the teachers for everything. It's not our fault. And we want to make sure that it stays a strong country. We got to start rebuilding the middle class again to get that way.
Let's try to build up our country. Stop trying to make it worse than what it is. We already have a recession going back to a recession, and it's just not good. We need to try to build everything up and try to make this country better than what it is right now.
Thanks so much. I've been speaking with
Sarita Williams, representative for Con Edison.
Mike Espino for Running Place.
And I'm a utility worker, Wayne Walker, at the Con Ed lockout site. What's your job?
My job is electric operations. We go into manholes and tie feeders together.
So there are management personnel and retirees coming in to do that job. And actually, two of them got hurt this week.
Yes,
you think that management as a whole is capable of doing these jobs?
Some are, but most of them aren't, because a lot of them were hired off the street, never been in the field before. A lot of them are old, they're not used to doing it, things have changed, and they're not used to doing, they forget what they used to do. But a lot of them are, you know, college students who came off the street and never been done this job before.
One of the issues, we hear a lot about pensions, but there's a lot more involved too, as I understand it.
Pretty much want to strip us of everything we have, from pay rate, they want to gut the pension, pay more in our medical coverage. Matter of fact, 100% in medical coverage. There's a long list.
So, I mean, how would this all affect you if the company gets its way?
The thing is, this is a profitable company. They're $1 billion in profit. The CEOs and the presidents, they're making millions a year. As a matter of fact, some of them are making three times what other CEO of electric companies in other states are making. And they want to take back from us what we're making so that... How are we supposed to pay mortgage, send our children to college on less than $60,000 a year, especially living in New York City? So they're trying to take what we have, and they're giving themselves more.
We've been seeing this all over the country with both public employees and private, where employers are trying to take back pensions, trying to take back health care, wages. What's happening in the country?
A lot of it has to do with people voting against their own interests. They're being tricked by certain media propaganda machine that's telling them to vote against their interests, not seeing exactly what's going on, and telling them, oh, this is too much big government, and you should vote against the right to work. In other words, you should vote for the right to work for less, as far as cutting away minimum wage. If you cut away minimum wage, then they can pay you anything they feel like paying you. So if we don't stick together, then we're going to fall. It's been going across the country. Some of us don't realize that until it hit home. That's when they're starting to see that they come for me today, they're going to come for you tomorrow. So you got to see who is for you and who is against you. We voted for a governor, and we haven't heard from him or seen him. But I voted for him because he was the lesser of two evils. But now we really see where he stands, because we haven't heard anything from him. We already know where the mayor stood. So we didn't expect to hear anything from him.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I've been talking with Wayne Walker at the Con Ed demonstration at Irving Place near Union Square in Manhattan. Thank you.
And I'm with Frank Vivola, Local 1-2. How long have you been working for Con Ed?
Almost 25 years. I work for the company every day. I'm also an officer of the local.
Okay, what do you do when you work on every day?
I'm a gas mechanic. We work on your gas lines, maintain the gas lines, do new installations.
And what's happening now that there are scabs doing that work?
It's a travesty. In essence, Con Edison fired 8,500 of us. They locked us out. We didn't want to strike. We didn't want a fair contract. They want to take everything from us. We just want to keep what we got. They put the public in jeopardy. Listen, it takes a lot of years and a lot of experience for us to do what we do. We work on live gas, live steam, live electric. It takes years of experience, years of training. Can't come out of an office and do that kind of work. From my understanding, they've already had replacements injured, burned already. Why? We hope and pray that there won't be any more. And hopefully nobody will get killed.
At the time that they locked you out, there were power outages all across the East Coast. You think they're playing with fire?
Absolutely. Look at what's going on everywhere else. If we have a big storm like that, we're not going to be equipped to take care of it. There's going to be major outages, just like it was last year when they had the storm up in Westchester. It took a long time before people got electric. And that was working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's just a small take. Think about what would happen if we're still on a picket line.
Now, the company, what does the company want? What are their demands? We hear a lot about pensions. What do they want in other instances?
Basically, they want to take everything that we have. They want our pensions that we've had, and the benefits that we've had. We've been enjoying these benefits for the last 70 years. They were hard fought. It's not anything that we shouldn't get. What they want is they want the pensions. They want more medical, you name it. I mean, they want everything.
And this is something that's happening across the country, especially with regard to pensions and health care. What do you think's happening across the country? What do you think's happening to the working class?
Well, what's happening across the country is, as you can see, the 1% are getting richer and the 99% are out here doing what's happening right now, today. And there's only so much we can give. Talk about fair share. Where's the fair share on the other end? I mean, here we are with a corporation that's made $1 billion last year, not hurting for money. Why would you come and try and hurt the people that work for you, the people that actually put the money in their pockets? It just doesn't make any sense other than greed. Hopefully, we'll get a fair contract. Hopefully, the company will see what's going on, make a decision, and say, you know what? We need these people. When we started working in this company, we felt like it was a family. We don't feel that way anymore. You don't treat your family that way. And it is what it is. I mean, like I said, we're going to do whatever it takes just to make them understand that. Hopefully they'll see what they're doing, and they're hurting everybody. They hurt the families that work for them. They hurt New Yorkers. And when you consider that our labor only costs less than 5% of the average bill, it's not much to ask.
Large number of cases where cars or trucks pass by, they honk their horns and everybody yells. You getting a lot of support from the community?
Oh, yes, we are. This was a big move. Con Edison locking us out like that. The union leaders did not go to the table to strike. They went to the table to get a contract. They were willing to do whatever it takes to get a contract, which means they would negotiate in good faith. If there was negotiation going on in good faith, they would have been at the bargaining table. But that didn't happen. All we want to do is work, get paid, and try and have some dignity. We put a lot of years in here, and that's all we're looking for. What we were told when we got the job, just like everybody else. When I got the job, I was told, work 25, 30 years, and you're going to get a pension, and you'll have health care. Now you want to take it away from me? I'm 60 years old. What am I supposed to do then?
Thank you very much. I've been talking with Frank Rivola, who's an executive board member of Local 12. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay.
And we're back in studio now, fresh from the picket line, a hot picket line for all kinds of reasons. And we're joined by Harry Farrell, president of Local 1-2 of the Utility Workers of America. And a special greeting to you, President Harry.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, I am delighted to have you here, but I wish you weren't here because I wish the workers were back where they belong, in the field doing the extraordinary work that the Con Ed workers always have. Catch us up to date. I know that there are bargaining to begin again tomorrow afternoon, but how do you assess the success or where those bargaining negotiations are at this point?
Well, at this point, there really is no bargaining. I believe that the company is bargaining in bad faith, not good faith. What people have to understand is that we basically have been bargaining with this company since April 12th. April 12th started our first bargaining session, and on July 1st, this company made an irresponsible movement to lock all of us out that night.
Now, why are things different now from the company's standpoint? They've taken an extremely hard line, the lockout, the demands they're putting on the union members. What's changed over the course of the years that they're doing this now?
They want to wipe out 75 years of collective bargaining in one fair swoop. You know, if there was economic reason why they were doing this, why they needed to gut the pension, the medical, sick time, why they wanted to keep, you know, raises to the bad bones. I could only think of one word when I think of why they want to do this, and it's all because of corporate greed. You know, there's no economic sense. They told us when we first sat down with them. At the time, I believe their stock was $62.50 a share. The company was making a lot of money. They were in very good financial shape. This is what they told us. And all of a sudden, we find out that the only thing that they really care about is themselves. For them to lock out the 8,000-plus members that we have is totally irresponsible on Con Ed's part. And the fact that they've been telling the citizens of New York that they would be able to handle any contingency that would arise with the 5,000 management people that they have. But we found out that what they're doing is they're bringing in scab laborers from Chesapeake, Virginia, and from Alabama. So I guess they really, once again, as they're so good at doing, is lying to the public. And one thing I think people forgot was that, you know, they are convicted felons. This is a company that was convicted in federal court of a felony because of the Gramercy Park incident that occurred. I believe it was 1989. And because of that, because of them being convicted, we had a federal monitor, a guy by the name of Mitchell Bernard, who was on the property for a number of years.
Remind us what they were convicted of, what that was about.
I believe it was because they didn't tell the truth about the asbestos exposure at Gramercy Park. And because of that, they were convicted because we all know what asbestos does to people. You know, if it gets into your lungs, there's a very good possibility that you'll wind up with asbestosis or lung disease. So this is the company that you know and you're supposed to trust. And this is the company that says they're on it. You know, I don't believe anything they say. They've lied to us so many times, it's very difficult to believe anything that this company would tell you. I mean, you just think about this. On July 1st, they decided that they were going to lock us out. We were willing to sit down and talk. We were willing to continue to negotiate. We asked the company for some dates. They refused to give them to us, so they locked us out. And when they locked us out, a couple of days went by, I believe it was on July 3rd, that they decided that they would cancel our medical insurance. We have people that, you know, have some debilitating illnesses because they work for this company. Whether it be some cancers that they've developed while employed by Con Edison, they need certain treatments, and this company just turned around. And I guess really what they did is they decided that they would make a business decision, and that business decision was not to cover our employees. From what I understand, we were supposed to have 30 days. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. We have our attorneys looking into it. So that's where that's at.
Let me ask you, what are the other demands that management made that they want to implement, aside from what they really want to do, I guess, is bust the union? But what do they ask? What do they demand at the table?
Let me just say this. I mean, I can remember going back to the 70s when the Edison stock price dropped to $6 a share. The company was struggling to survive. And what we did as a union, we helped them out. We accepted concessions, and we did what we had to do for this company. We always looked at ourselves as a family. We were different than other companies. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, just in my situation by itself. I mean, my uncle was worked here for many, many years. He got me into the company. My brother became a chief lineman for this company. And I have two sons now that work for this company. And you just think about that. I mean, all the people that have family here, and what they told us the other day is that we are no longer a family. What we are is a business. And it does not fit into our business mode what you guys are looking for as far as improvements in this contract negotiations. So what they're looking to do is they're looking to cut everything that we've negotiated. And not to, you know, do this or to negotiate this contract in the public eye, but just to let you know, I mean, it's all the big major issues. It's pension, it's medical, it's sick time, and last but not least, it's wages. What I believe what they've done is, as a company, they've decided that what they would do was bust this union. And I think because of where we are, you know, everybody knows New York is a union town. They figured that they would try with us. Now, I believe that right now we are the biggest lockout, 8,500 people, in history. I remember Caterpillar locking people out, and there was roughly 5,500 members locked out. I don't ever remember 8,000 or 8,500 people locked out.
And I know there was a memo put out from Attorney General Eric Schneiderman that called on the state's Public Service Commission to ensure the utility giant Con Edison has the proper contingency plans to in place to protect the millions of customers and ratepayers during these severe weather from a major disaster, if you will. But is that even possible with the 8,500 workers laid out? I mean, what's at stake here for the consumer?
Well, what they're doing is, like I said before, they're bringing in scabs. And, you know, these people are coming into our territory, and they're going to do our work. But what upsets me more than anything is that Con Ed said that they could handle this, that there wouldn't be a problem, that the people in New York would not be in danger, that nobody would go for any long periods of time if there was a serious outage like there was under Kevin Burke's watch back in 2006 when we experienced Long Island City and Astoria. You know, I look at this guy and I look at his tenure as a CEO, and I wonder, you know, what is this board of directors thinking? I mean, here's a guy who, since his tenure began, I believe it was in 2005, that he had the Long Island City debacle. We had the steam explosion on 42nd Street in Midtown. We had three people killed in gas explosions. And we've had many of my members injured and maimed, and some of them were even, some of them even lost their lives. So, I question that. I mean, you know, this guy is the CEO of a large utility, and what people tend to forget is that this is a public utility. This is not Kevin Burke's empire, although I think he believes that it is his empire.
Well, most
anybody that makes the money that he makes has got to think he's king.
Right, $11 million. So most critically now, for people like myself and many others, and I got a slew of emails when folks heard that you were going to be on saying, hey, I'm a public worker. What do we do to support our sisters and brothers on the line at Con Edison? How do we get them back, and how do we get them a fair contract?
Well, to be honest with you, that would all be up to Con Edison. Con Edison is the ones that have to bring us back. Con Edison right now, I guess, once again, it's in their business decision that it's okay for us to be locked out. So how people could help us, listen, if you see somebody walking a picket line at any one of their locations, honk your horn, give us a thumbs up, let us know that you care about us. You know, if we don't all join together in this effort to push back the draconian demands that Con Edison is asking for, then they'll take advantage of everybody in this city and across the country.
Well, we will certainly keep people posted, and we are with you, and we will continue to do updates. And Harry Farrell, president of Local 1-2 of the Utility Workers of America, we want to turn the lights back on for the working class who indeed does the work. So thank you for joining us, and stay strong.
Thank you for having me, and we will do whatever it takes. Thank you.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.